So, real quick, it's winter season. We all got a little extra mucus, right? Amen?
Amen.
What do you call it when you get a little ball of mucus? What is that called when you cough it? A what? A loogie. Y'all use that language in Missouri?
Yeah.
All right, now what do you do with a loogie, guys?
Hawk it.
You hawk it. Now, you're halfway to the word we're going to talk about today in Hebrew. It's chukum. Literally, hakum, what you do with a loogie. And that's the word for wisdom. And so that's what we're going to talk to you guys about today. I found it hilarious that earlier tonight I was listening to a couple of students. They go, no, I'm going to go down to the confessional sin class because I don't need any more wisdom. I'm like, boy, you're 17 years old. You need some wisdom. And so I applaud everybody in the room for saying, yeah, I want to grow in wisdom. The title of our class is If I Lack Wisdom. And we're going to get to the theme verse of that. But before I do, let me quickly just show you what we're going to do in the next 50 minutes. So we're going to talk to you about three things. The first thing is we want to show you why gaining wisdom is so important. Secondly, we want to define it the way that God defines it. Not the way the world defines it, but the way God says wisdom is. And then we want to teach you how to get it. We can't fast forward to number three until we understand the first two. So, Brett, take us into why is wisdom so important?
So the first reason why wisdom is so important that we're going to talk about is because God says it is. The first reason is because God says it is. Man, the scriptures are so awesome, and man, they are wiser than the times that maybe they were written in. If you look at Proverbs 3:15, it specifically says, wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Guys, what do you think is more important or more valuable? Gold, rubies, or diamonds? Diamonds. Do you think gold second or do you think rubies is second?
Rubies second.
Rubies is second. The highest quality rubies are so valuable, as the scripture says. Some of the highest quality rubies are 10 times as valuable as some of the highest quality diamonds are. And so this passage just talks about how valuable wisdom is. And if we know rubies are this valuable, wisdom is so much greater than even this. If we look at something about the value of rubies, some of the values of rubies can be as high as $1 million a carat.
Mm.
Now, some of you guys have wedding rings or looking at wedding rings or have aspired one day to buy wedding rings. Think about, man, I'm going to buy a 1-carat wedding ring. You going to spend $1 million on that thing? But rubies are so valuable, and that's the point I really want to make, is that their value is so great that even a ruby is over 7,000 times more valuable than gold is. Proverbs 4 verse 7 says, wisdom is the most important thing, so get wisdom. If it costs everything you have, get understanding. So guys, when we look at these passages in the Bible, we see that God's word says wisdom is so important that if it costs us everything, we need to get it.
Right, and so number two, why is wisdom so important? Because it saves us a whole bunch of trouble. Amen?
Amen.
When you do foolish things, you get yourself in all kinds of screwed up situations. And so a lot of you guys would save yourself a lot of trouble if you would take time and concentrate on allowing God to grow you in the area of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 12, it says, if you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you'll be the one to suffer. Plain and simple. And basically, God is saying it's your choice. Now, you guys go to the gym to work on your muscles. Some of y'all need to have a concentrated effort on getting wiser. It's so important, and it will save you trouble. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 14, it says, wisdom is good for the soul. Get wisdom, and you'll have a bright future. Y'all want a bright future? Raise your hand if you want a bright future. Want a wonderful, godly woman in your life one day? That's a bright future, amen?
Amen.
Say amen when you can, man. Yeah, it's a bright future. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 12. Nothing will stand in your way if you walk wisely, and you will not stumble when you run. You absolutely benefit from wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 8, it says, those who get wisdom do themselves a favor, and those who love learning will succeed. And I wonder, guys, do you guys love learning? Are you the ones that are diligently right now taking notes? See, you're in a wisdom class, and I can't, like, zap y'all with wisdom. But what y'all can do is make some decisions that I'm eager to get that way. But you've got to put in the effort, right? It takes effort, but you will succeed when you gain it. In Proverbs 3, verses 16 through 18, it says, "Wisdom offers you long life, as well as wealth and honor. Wisdom can make your life pleasant and lead you safely through it. And those who become wise are happy. Wisdom will give them life." Boy, I want wisdom. And if I know that it brings me all of those things that most of us say that we want in our lives, then why would I not pursue it? Why would I not make it the most important thing and the most valuable thing, even more so than the rubies that Brett talked about? So it's important. It's important because God says it is, and it's important because we save ourselves tons of trouble when we gain it.
And the third reason why wisdom is so important is because we gain influence when we have wisdom. Proverbs 3:35 says, "Wise people will gain an honorable reputation." I don't know about you guys, but I don't want a reputation that is one that people look down upon. I don't want a reputation that people don't like or people just talk bad about. I want a reputation that's good. And this passage says, if we want an honorable, good reputation, we need to be wise people. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1 says, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother." Man, I got a funny story about this idea of bringing grief to a mother. I was preparing for a wedding a couple weeks ago, and my wife told my son, Emerson, who's 3, stop jumping on the bed. Right? And so usually parents have more wisdom than their children. And my son kept jumping on the bed. We were getting ready for the wedding. We were like 3 hours before the wedding was supposed to start. And he keeps jumping, and all of a sudden he slips and he smacks his head on the bottom of the bed. And so we got to go to this wedding. She's so worried. He's got a concussion. Literally has a lump like the size of a baseball and the size of his forehead. And she thinks he's got it. And she called me while I was getting ready to do the wedding, and she was freaking out about it. So just understand this passage. If you want to bring joy to your parents and even be able to save your family, you need to be those who have wisdom and not be those who are foolish. Proverbs 12:18 says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing." Guys, one of the things as disciples is our job is to be able to tell the good news to the rest of the world, to be able to change lives, to help and allow the word and allow God to heal people's broken past and heal their lives. But we've got to have wisdom. We've got to be able to speak wisdom into their life instead of just speak whatever and spew random stuff and trash that really doesn't help their life or heal the brokenness they've come from or heal any of where they've come. I know people have spoken wise words in your lives and healed parts of your lives and healed parts of your past with God's word and wisdom. They played a part in that to heal those broken stories. And some of that is helping heal those broken stories now. So we have to have wisdom, and it's so important because we also gain influence.
Man, and guys, number 4, lives are on the line. It's not just a negative thing for you and your life, but the people that you claim to love, their life is on the line too. And so your lack of wisdom can contribute to them fast-forwarding their trip to hell. Or you making a decision that I'm going to be wise, not just for myself, but for those that I say I love so that I can better help them and make sure they get to heaven. Lives are on the line. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life." And that's kind of talking about the here and the now. Your physical lives will get better. If you're wise about the way you eat, you won't clog up your arteries and have a heart attack when you're 50. Right? If you're wise, your life can be extended. But it goes deeper than that. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14, it takes it to the spiritual realm. And it says this, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death." Please, guys, raise your hand if you know somebody in your family that you love dearly that is not on the road to heaven right now. And you can see it, right? You see the snare of death. You want to snatch them before they get trapped in that snare of death. But it's going to take wisdom for you guys to be able to do it. Now, don't worry. We're going to talk to you about what it is and then how to get it. But first, you've got to be properly motivated. We gave you 4 big reasons why wisdom is so important. And we want to, we did one other thing. We want this to be super practical for you. So what we did is we contacted your youth leaders, not all of them, but some of your youth leaders and some of your campus leaders. And we asked them this question. We said, what areas of life do our students that will be at family vacation, what areas of life do you observe them and say, these are the areas they need wisdom in the most. This is where they need to grow. Do you want to see what your leader said?
Sure.
All right, let's pull it up here. Take a picture of this. Go ahead, take your phones out. But then I want you to put them away. Because what this is going to serve, this is going to give you something to do in your quiet time. This is input from your leaders that you need to take very seriously. And you need to spend some time in God's Word around these ideas. How many of you guys would like to be better able to open up your Bible and actually know how to apply it in the context that it was intended to be applied? Y'all need some help with that?
Yes.
How many times have you opened your Bible and felt lost and like you needed some guidance? You need wisdom in how to apply the Scriptures. How about how to handle money? How to handle women? Y'all don't need no wisdom in that, do you? Listen, y'all are going to need... Say amen when you can, RJ. We need wisdom the rest of our life, don't we, brother? We need wisdom the rest of our life. And look at some of those other areas. How about holiness? Think about your social media. Some of you guys intake things that you shouldn't be intaking. And some of y'all are advertising to the world for it to see. In one post, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In another post, your shirt is halfway up showing off your abs. And look at me, sexy thing. You're doing stupid stuff. That's foolishness. It's not wisdom. So some of your leaders observe that and they go, hey, take a picture. Get in your word. And start learning in some real practical ways how we need to get wise. All right, so now, hopefully you're properly motivated. Everybody ready to get wise? All right, let's stop there. What is wisdom? What is it? How does God define it? Turn to somebody right now. Everybody do this. Turn to somebody right now and say, wisdom is not knowledge. Go. Wisdom is not knowledge. Listen, you guys... More so than any generation ever before you, are the most informed, knowledgeable generation there has ever been. And everybody in this room has two of the smartest friends in the world, Siri and Alexa. They're smart, guys. They can answer any question just like that. At your fingertips, you've got all the answers. And what does that do? You know what the Scripture says? We don't have it on the screen. You know what it says? Knowledge puffs up. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is something else. And the biggest thing that you guys need to understand is just because you're super smart doesn't mean you're wise. Anybody know somebody who is smart and dumb all at the same time? Somebody who is... We would say it this way. They book smart, but they ain't what? Street smart. And they ain't got no common sense. And why is that possible? Because wisdom is not knowledge. And knowledge is not wisdom. You see, wisdom is something more than just having information. It's being able, and you can write this down. A lot of ways we could define it. But God basically says, if you can see the world from my point of view, think about things the way that I think about things. Now, in the Old Testament, this is very important. You want a lesson on wisdom. The Old Testament talks about it a lot. The New Testament talks about it a lot. There's almost 200 passages in both of those sections of Scripture on wisdom. In the Old Testament, however, you've got to understand something. It mostly comes and it's talked about almost like a woman. Right? It's a personification, like it's a person, like wisdom itself is a person. And it's called lady wisdom, referred to as a she and a her. That's her selected pronouns, okay, in the Old Testament. But when you get to the New Testament, there's a transition. And something drastic changes that's so important. When you think in the Old Testament, you think Solomon, right? What do we think about in the New Testament?
In the New Testament, we see the personification and fulfillment of wisdom in Jesus. I want us to look at a passage here in Luke chapter 11 to specifically see how this is personified and we can see this in the Scriptures. So it's Luke 11:31, and it says, at the judgment day, the queen of Sheba, who is a friend of Solomon's, guys, who is a friend of Solomon's, shall arise and point her finger at this generation. And this is what she's going to do when she points her finger. Condemning it, For she went a long, hard journey to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. But one far greater than Solomon is here.
Amen.
And she's going to condemn them and say, few, pay attention. You guys want to be a part of that generation that is condemned. And the queen who travels so far to get wisdom is saying, man, you guys don't pay attention. And condemning you and making fun of you because you don't do it. Guys, we see this in the New Testament, not only in Luke 31, but we can see this in Paul's confirmation in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, where it says, God has hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge in Christ.
And guys, you notice that word hidden. Why would God hide wisdom? And that's where our mind goes. But listen, this is not talking about hiding it in such a way that God doesn't want you to find it or it makes it super hard for you to find it. What this word literally means is that it's the only place it can be found. That Jesus himself is the only place that you can now find wisdom. We don't have to, listen, all the things that Solomon said are still good, still valid for us to listen to. But what we need to realize is all of those things found its embodiment and fulfillment in Jesus. So if you look at Jesus, you don't have to look any further. And that's the point that we want to leave you with in this section, is as you look at a definition of wisdom, you need to understand that it's Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him, Jesus, to be wisdom itself. He is wisdom. He's not just the wisest guy on the planet. He is wisdom itself. And so what does that mean? That means if Jesus said it, it's wise. If Jesus prayed it, that is a wise prayer. And it's a way that we should pray. Right? If Jesus was about it, it was wise. If you want to be wise, we need to be looking to Jesus, who gives us the very definition of wisdom. The world teaches us that anybody can be wise. And in a way, they are correct. Because you can gain wisdom simply by life experience. But that's only a certain type of wisdom. That's what we call worldly wisdom. And God does make a distinction.
He makes this distinction between what we talk about as worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And we can see this specifically when James talks about it and addresses us in chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. And James says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done, and the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy, like Wes's class, so if you guys are in there, listen to this. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from the heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. You want to be a part of evil practices. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, clean, guys, unmixed. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive. Man, that's a tough word. A lot of times we hear it talk to women, but guys, we have to be this way as well. We've got to be submissive to our King. Submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That's what James says about wisdom. Worldly wisdom is not what he just defined at the very end of this passage, but worldly wisdom is what he defined at the very beginning. But guys, do you notice that true wisdom comes down from heaven, from God? And I want you guys to look at what it says about the wisdom that's said from heaven, about those passages and those points of submissiveness, considerateness, peace-loving, merciful, fruitful, impartial. Look at all of those things.
And so the bottom line, guys, is you can't get this type of wisdom that we desperately need, the ones that's going to help us not only in our own lives, but in the lives of those we say we love and we want to be with God one day. It has to come from God. You can't grunt and sprout it. It's not going to happen from your life experience. It has to come from heaven, from God, into our lives, and we have to pursue it like it's as precious as rubies. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12, listen to what the prophet says. Know whom you're dealing with. God alone is powerful enough to create the earth. He alone is what? Wise enough to put the world together. He alone understands enough to stretch out the heavens. None of y'all can do what God has done. None of y'all are as smart as God. You're not even close. It says the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. So the best that we can muster is nothing to God. It's in his wisdom that he stretched out the heavens, that he put the sun just far enough from the earth that it helps everything live. But if it was just a fraction closer, we'd all fry to death. If it was a fraction further away, we'd all freeze to death. And God has this thing spinning. And the leaves in autumn, they all fall. And in the spring, they come back to life. And all of these things work perfectly together. How? Man, we have a hard time organizing just one or two things. And God's got this whole thing working like it is. Not, we need wisdom from God. We are not that bright. And Solomon, the guy in the Old Testament, we think instantly. We think wisdom, we think Solomon. He wrote what's called the wisdom literature in the Old Testament. But I want you guys not just to think of Solomon, but go, you know what? Solomon was just getting us ready for something even greater than Solomon. That's Jesus. But Solomon knew that he needed wisdom from God. In fact, get this. You guys this weekend are being called to some really big things. Hey, let's go save our campuses. Hey, let's go save our families. Hey, and your leaders are saying, you can do it. I've been where you are right now, and now I am where I am. And I grew, but I had to make some decisions. And the quicker you guys will make the decision, I'm going to be wise and I'm going to do something with what I learned this weekend, the quicker you'll do this great thing that you're being called to. Well, Solomon was called to something great. He was called to be God's king. And Solomon goes, oh, how am I going to do this? I need you, God. And this was Solomon's request. God said, I'll give you anything you want, Solomon. What do you want? This is what he said in 2 Chronicles 1, 10 through 12. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you've not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you've not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people, over whom I've made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you. And so God granted this because Solomon's heart was in the right place. His motives were right.
You know, guys, we look at that passage and we hear about Solomon's motives being right and Solomon's motives being unmixed and pure. When you guys are sitting in this class thinking, man, I need wisdom, is that where your motives are? Is that where your heart is? Are you wanting to gain wisdom and sitting in this class to learn wisdom for pure motives? Not to boast yourself up and be this big superstar and be this super big person where everybody comes to, but because you want to be wise. Your motives are for something so much greater than just for yourself and to build yourself up. If that's the case, then let's go to our theme verse for this class, which is going to be James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And it starts off and says, if any of you lacks wisdom, I would assume we're all in this class because that is what we're looking for. We lack wisdom and we want some more.
Amen.
It says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So this passage says, man, if we ask and we truly believe without doubt, then it'll be given to us. So we just end right there, right? The passage says, just ask for it and be given to you. Does that mean God's just going to zap us with it? If that's going to be the case, then we should just pray to him and ask.
But skip the class. Just let's pray.
There's so much more to it. And that's why we're having this class. And we can't just be like, oh, God, give it to us. Because there's something that this passage talks about right before in verses 2 through 4 that helps us understand what it's talking about when it says we should ask. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then we see it says, if you lack wisdom. And so guys, we've got to read passages. And you know, one of the things we talked about is biblical context. Understand what it's saying so we don't just read it and be like, oh, well, verse 5 says if I lack, I can just ask God and get it. No, there's so much more to it than God just zapping you right away with it.
In other words, guys, there is a pathway to wisdom. And the pathway is not just smooth all the time. But it says trials can be involved in that. And sometimes it's through trials that God answers the prayer that we say, God, I lack wisdom. Give me wisdom. You said if I ask, you'll give it to me. And he goes, okay, I'll give it to you. It's kind of like when you ask God for patience and then he sticks you in traffic. Right?
That's his favorite thing.
It's my favorite thing. No, it's not. It's a lot. From the pit of hell. Hate traffic. Anyway. But it takes perseverance as life comes at us to grow in wisdom. And some of you want to fast forward through some of the difficulties in your life that God is trying to use to get you more wise and to help you grow. And so don't fast forward, but embrace what's going on. Know that God, whether he caused it, he has at least allowed it to happen to you. And maybe there's a lesson to be learned in it. So what we want to do now, guys, we've told you why it's important to have it. Hopefully you feel motivated and you say, I want it. Now you know what it is. It's basically Jesus himself that has fulfilled and embodied all the things from Old Testament to New that wisdom is. It's found in Jesus and we got to get it from him. We can't muster it ourselves. But now, third, how do we get it? And I want to spell the word wisdom. W-I-S-D-O-M. Each one of them stands for something, and then we're out of here. What is the W? W is, I got to want wisdom more than anything. We talked about valuing it more than the most expensive rubies. But listen to what Psalm 111, verse 10 says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You cannot get wisdom without the fear of the Lord. That's where it starts. Y'all follow? Listen to this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who are guided by it will grow in understanding. His praise will last forever. And this is really critical, guys, and really one of the reasons we find ourselves in a world full of fools right now. We live in a world, literally, guys, where someone can literally pull their pants out this way, look down, and find an object right there between their legs, and still conclude that they're a woman. Listen, don't laugh at that. That is super sad. It's super sad. Because, you know, God created us to be the way that we are. To say that something else is true is to say God made a mistake. And he didn't. And so, guys, we've got to understand when we think we're super smart and we think we're enlightened and we figured something out, but God says something else, he's not the crazy one. We are.
That's right. Yeah.
And you can apply that in so many realms of life, but we need to want wisdom. If you think you already got it, you won't want it. If you guys think you're super smart and you got it all together, you got it all figured out, you won't want it. And you won't get it. You got to want it. In Proverbs 18, verse 15, it says, wise people want to learn more, so they listen closely to gain knowledge. In Proverbs 4, verse 8, is that right? Verse 8.
Yes.
It says, treasure wisdom, and it will make you great. Hold on to it, and it will bring you honor. Do you treasure it? You're not going to treasure it if you think you already got it in abundance. But man, if you're desperate, you're like, God went over my head like Solomon. When God gives you the option that you can have anything you want, you go, I want wisdom. Forget all the other stuff. I want wisdom. Because you're going to see the value in it. You've got to want it. Some of y'all don't want it. I see it in your eyes. Some of you are like, what is this guy talking about? He's crazy. No, you need to go check out what I'm saying. Because if you don't want it, you're not going to get it. And all those amazing things that come as a benefit, as a result of wisdom, you won't have it. You got to want it. So write this down before I pass this off to Brett. Rubies and diamonds. I mostly wrote this for the ladies over there to help them out. But rubies and diamonds are not a girl's best friend. Wisdom is. You want to help your girlfriends? Encourage them to get with their older sisters in Christ and grow in wisdom. Or you can just shower them with gifts. Be studly man that bought that amazing gift and wow them with diamonds. Or if you want them to be the future mother of your children, that you'll be proud is raising your kids. then you will help her invest and push her toward wisdom. Because rubies and diamonds are not a girl's best friend. Wisdom is.
You know, just to reiterate what Mackie was talking about with wanting it more than anything, one of the pastors I talked about earlier said, if it cost everything, do so. So guys, I want you guys to understand it, and just to reiterate, man, do whatever you can to gain wisdom, because it's going to help so much. The second part, the I in wisdom, is going to be inquire of God. Just like our theme verse says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. So we need to inquire of God. We can see in Psalm 90, verse 10 through 12, about inquiry of God, that it says, we live about 70 years, or if we are strong, 80 years. But most of them are filled with hard work and pain. Then suddenly, the years are gone, and we fly away. No one really knows the full power of your anger, but our fear and respect for you is as great as your anger. Teach us how short our lives are, so that we can become wise. This is talking about a prayer to God. Guys, if we want to be wise, if we want to have a good 70, maybe 80 years, then we need to ask God how we can do so. So it's not something full of hard work and pain and suffering. You know, one of the things that when you watch videos or you talk to fitness athletes or people, they're like, this is how you can live long. This is how you can have a good life and healthy life. And they'll give you all these diet tips or all this other stuff. And that's cool if you want to be here and you want to be healthy or whatever. But this is talking about something that's so much greater. Guys, we're talking about something for the whole, for eternity. If you want to have a really good life, then let's ask God how to do it. Not just some man or woman about, you know, some of this stuff. Let's ask God, look to his word for really how to do that. Not just how to eat something good.
Man, you know, that, and like Brett said, that was a prayer. That was a prayer. Let that be your prayer. Amen? Could that be your prayer? God, teach me who is young to number my days. Y'all think y'all got all the time in the world. But man, have y'all known any young people snuffed out too soon? That went too soon? Yeah. It's time to grow up now. Don't put it off. You're not promised tomorrow. S, we got to study God's word. In Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. It gives us new strength. The laws of the Lord can be trusted. They make childish people wise. And some of y'all need a big smile on your face right now, because some of y'all are childish. Listen, I'm childish too. I get accused of it all the time. But wisdom can change that. It can help you grow up. Guys, have y'all ever been super childish? And that's the way people kind of know you. But then you suddenly step into a serious role. Maybe you're trying to lead a cross chatter. Maybe you're trying to say something serious in the group, but nobody can take you seriously, and then you get mad. Maybe you should get mad at yourself and say, maybe if I'd grown up, maybe if I wasn't just known as a goofball all the time, then maybe I'd have some more influence, some more respect. We need to study God's word. In Proverbs 15, verse 14, a wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash. I guarantee you, there's a pretty big contingent in here of people that feed on trash. How many of y'all just waste time scrolling on reels? You know, and then some of y'all's reels are flooded with nothing but pretty girl reels that are wearing next to nothing. And so guess what? The algorithm figures out that you're a perv. And so that's all it sends to your phone. That's all it sends. If you say, block that, not interested, that doesn't apply, that's inappropriate, if you do that enough times, it'll start sending you other stuff. And if you start looking at spiritual things, the algorithm will go, okay, this guy's spiritual. We'll send him some more spiritually minded things. But you've got to decide what you want to feed on. And I suggest feeding on the Word. If you don't have a regular quiet time with God where you're reading His Word, and we gave you something to take a picture of to kickstart that quiet time, if you're not doing that, you're going to fail at getting wise. In Proverbs 8:33, it says, listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Brett's son disregarded it, smacked his head. We don't need to disregard it. Some of us don't like to be told what to do. We'll say stupid things, foolish things, unwise things like, I'm grown. If you have to say you're grown, you ain't grown. I'm just going to put it out there. If that word has exited your mouth, I'm glad you're in this class. You need to grow up, because, and you need to be in God's word more. in Psalm 119, 97 through 104, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers. I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders," the old people, "for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path." He says you could be wiser than the old folks. Why? How is that possible? Because remember, wisdom is not knowledge. And wisdom doesn't just come from life experience, but it comes from God Himself. And here's your fast ticket to wisdom. It's like a cheat code. It's the Word of God. If you don't know how to give good advice, you can just read Scripture to somebody and know that you're giving good advice. Right? You didn't have to go through all this stuff and suddenly have all this wisdom inside you. You've got it right there in your hands. And it's so cool that God gives us that, so we don't have to be super old or have been through so many things. We can simply open His Word, and wisdom is right there at our fingertips.
All right, so our D in wisdom is don't allow your mood to be your master. I'll give you guys a second to write that down. Don't allow your mood to be your master. If you don't want to write that, you can write facts or not feelings. I know that sounds kind of corny, or you can clap, or whatever you want to do. And it sounds kind of weird, and maybe something that belongs in the class that's over there. But I know some of the stories about people in this room, and I know some of the people in this room, and I know that saying needs to be said. Just because you're feeling that doesn't mean that's what's going on.
Right.
Guys, it's not always what is happening in the moment. You may think, oh, this is what's happening, this is what somebody said, or this is what needs to be done. But it's not true. You've got to know what we're talking about. We've got to have wisdom, and we can't just rely on what we're feeling. You know that in Genesis chapter 4, it says in verses 6 through 7, "Why are you angry? Why do you look so despondent? Don't you know that as long as you do what is right, then I accept you? But if you do not do what is right, watch out, because sin is crouching at the door, ready to pounce on you. You must master it before it masters you."
Mm.
Man, do you guys know who this is written to and this is said to?
Yeah.
This is the guy who killed his brother.
Yeah.
Guys, this is some words we need to hear. Because if not, we're going to be killing our brothers in Christ, because this is how we're going to respond to them.
Right.
And it's going to be terrible. And not just our brothers in Christ, but the people that don't even know. We're just going to push them farther away. And if you want to see lives changed and people healed, then we really got to have wisdom. We can't always allow our mood to be our master. In Lamentations 3, verses 17 through 20, it says, "I cannot find peace or remember happiness. I tell myself I'm finished. I can't count on the Lord to do everything for me. Just thinking of my troubles and my lonely wandering makes me miserable. That's all I ever think about, and I'm depressed."
Mm.
Man, I know some people in this room may fall into the category of depression. But this passage here is giving you some instruction on how we can get out of that. So our feelings aren't controlling us and we don't stay in the cycle of depression. You want to get out of that? Let's get wise and let's learn. Let's listen to our leaders, let's listen to the people, and not allow our feelings to really control us and think, man, there's nothing else for me. So I'm just going to sit in the dark and kind of pout by myself.
Yeah, you know, that passage says it's all I ever think about. Who controls what you think about? You. And what did Donnie Dillon talk about? Some of y'all were in his class right here, where you're sitting now. And what did he talk about? If it's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Right? You choose that. Or you can choose to be Negative Nelly, Debbie Downer, I don't know, Depressed Deborah. hopefully none of y'all's girlfriends are named that. Anyway, but it's your choice. Right? Amen?
Right.
Let's choose to think about good things. Godly things. And I'm not talking about pretend like life isn't really happening. But look at it through God's lens. The O is open myself to godly counsel. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, it says, "Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise." Some of you guys know too much in your own head. You think you know so much, you don't listen to nobody. You need to open yourself up to godly counsel. In Proverbs 12:15, it says, "A fool thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others." You know who the world's worst at this is, guys? It's males. It's men. Because we want to be independent. We want to be able to be self-sufficient and be the ones taking care of things. That's what men do. But God says, you men, you manly men, need to shut up and listen every once in a while. That's why God gave you two ears and one mouth, so you'd listen twice as much as you talk. And guys, and we're the worst at asking for directions. We're the worst when we're assembling something with our tools. We pull it out the box and we throw the instructions away. I can figure it out. Until you put it together backwards and then have to unscrew it, and then you strip the screw because you had to do it so many times the wrong way.
Speaking from experience.
Have mercy. Yes, I am. I'm speaking from experience. In Proverbs 13:20, look at what it says. "Spend time with the wise and you will become wise, but the friends of fools will suffer." You want the Mackie Shedd version of that? You can't soar with the eagles if you're walking around with the turkeys. Some of y'all say gobble gobble. Turn to somebody and say gobble gobble. Yeah, y'all a bunch of turkeys, no? Listen, we need to be soaring with the eagles, but you got to decide who your counsel is going to be. You can't just accept any advice out there. You can't just put something on social media and go, "Hey, I was wondering about this. What do y'all think?" You know, there is no shortage of advice. You know what there's a shortage of? Godly advice. You say something like that on social media, you're going to get a bunch of trash, a bunch of stupid ideas. Maybe some of them are just clever enough to have the appearance of wisdom, but they're still trash. You need to consider the source. Who are the eagles that will help you soar? You want to know how you figure it out? It ain't rocket science. Listen to me. You follow the people that have the life that looks like what you want. You don't go under the bridge down the street over there and find the homeless guy and say, "Hey, could you give me some advice on getting a job?" That's not what you do. You don't go to the person that's got kids that are rebellious and ain't got no sense and aren't living on purpose and aren't doing anything with their life to go, "Hey, could you help me raise my kids? Give me some parenting advice." That's dumb. It's never ceased to amaze me. I've done a fair amount of marriage counseling over the years when marriages are in trouble. And it's never ceased to amaze me how often those marriages that are in turmoil and crisis, that they flock to other marriages that are in turmoil and crisis, and they try to get advice from each other. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? Find a healthy marriage that you can model yours after, that you could learn something from. Some of you guys want to break cycles that you think are terrible in your families, and you have stepped in, "I'm going to be a Jesus man, and I'm going to break this cycle." Listen, the decision, when you went under the waters of baptism and you came up a new person, that was just the beginning. Now it's time to grow in wisdom, and it's time to really concrete that breaking of that cycle. And to make sure you do that, you've got to find godly counsel and follow the eagles, not the turkeys. Amen?
Amen.
And Proverbs 29:15 says, "A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces his mother." I can't tell you how many times I've been in the grocery store and I look around and there's some kid screaming like a maniac, and his mom is like, "Hey, honey, let's make better choices." What is that? That soft guy. Guys, there's no reprimand. There is no rod. And God says there needs to be a reprimand and a rod. I don't know any other kind of rod than one that hurts. Do y'all? Listen, God knows what he's talking about. And all those soft parenting books that have the appearance of wisdom need to be thrown into the fire. And we need to listen to the way God says to do things. And guys, I can tell you, somebody said it earlier. Do you want a kid like Kerry Cox? Would you like to raise a kid that becomes a great campus minister that saves a lot of souls? Well then, Maybe you should ask the Robert Coxes of the world how he raised this kid. And I'm telling you, he had a rod and he had a reprimand. You want your kids to be like a Nathan Shepp. Where's he at? I'm proud of this kid. He's now a campus minister himself. He's a young Kerry Cox. I don't mind giving some parenting advice. I don't think I was the greatest dad in the world, but I think I've got some things to share. Find those men. Find those women and let them guide you. Let them say something to you and pour some wisdom into you. What's the M?
The M is mimic Jesus. Maggie just talked about if you want to have children like Carrie or you want to have children like Nathan, man, you got to mimic the parenting that raised those kids. So if we want to be people who are wise, why not look and mimic the embodiment of wisdom in the New Testament?
Amen.
That's Jesus. We just talked about that. Why not just mimic what he did and do what he did, and then we're going to be wise. Because you know what he learned from? The scriptures. Right? So in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Man, a lot of us, our favorite Bible character is Paul. We love reading Paul. And we're like, man, I wish I could be like Paul. Well, you know who Paul wanted to be like? He wanted to be like Jesus. So if you want to be like Paul, then just be like Jesus, because that's who he was already going with. In Luke 6, Paul not only says, I imitate Christ, let's look at what Jesus has to say about those who wanted to follow him. In Luke 6, verse 46 through 49, Jesus tells some of them, and he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug deep down and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood came and the torrent struck, and that house could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment this torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. We know this story, and we read this passage, and we say, well, it says a wise man. Well, this reading doesn't say a wise man. It says the man who dug down deep and built a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things Mackie talked about is you're not going to be able to give any sort of advice if you don't know what the Bible has to say. You're just going to be talking about out your butt the whole time instead of just reading the scriptures. And so if you can build a foundation on knowing what the scriptures have to say, which is what Jesus built his life upon, then we're going to be wise. So mimic Jesus, and how he did that was to build his life on a foundation. A strong foundation that's a word, the word of God, and not some weak foundation, which is the same.
Amen. I want to just show you a few things that Jesus said. Now, this is not quote for quote, okay, but this is principle for principle of what Jesus said. Pull up that slide for me, Mike. Here are the words of wisdom from Jesus. Here's something he said. If someone steals from you, give them more. If someone hits you, let them hit you again. Love your enemies and pray for them. What are you talking about, Jesus? This sounds like crazy stuff. You turn my cheek, I'm going to turn your cheek. But that's wisdom from Jesus. He says, someone strikes you on one side, give them the other side and let them hit you again. When they had just a little boy's lunch and the disciple says, let's send the people off. Jesus said, no, you feed the 5,000 people with the little boy's lunch. Wisdom. Doesn't seem like it, but it's wisdom. Don't take money on your mission trip. He said, leave your purse behind. Don't go with anything. I'll take care of you. Wisdom. Doesn't sound wise. Doesn't sound like we're preparing. What else? Let's go back to where they tried to kill me, Jesus says. Get out of the boat and walk on the water, because that makes a lot of sense. Go teach the gospel to a murdering terrorist. That was what was said to Ananias, to go talk to the murdering terrorist named Saul. What we now know, the Apostle Paul. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Die if you want to live. These are all what seems to be backwards, crazy talk. But remember what I said earlier. If Jesus said it, who is the embodiment of wisdom, if he said it, it ain't crazy talk. And if you think it is, you're the crazy one, not Jesus. Amen? I want to end with one story. It's a famous story from the Gospel of Luke. and many of you will be familiar with it, but I want you to look at it through a new lens. I want you to look at it through the lens of what we've talked about this entire lesson, because I think our entire lesson is wrapped up in this one story, and it's the miraculous catch of the fish that Jesus provides to Simon Peter and his companions. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that's the Sea of Galilee, it says the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him, put out, say it with me, a little. Put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he had Simon, we know as Peter, put out into deep water and let down those nets that you were just cleaning. Simon Peter answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. We ain't caught nothing. Anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When he had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats up so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. I want you to write this phrase down, and this is what I want to leave you with. Decisions, write it down. Decisions have momentum. What do I mean by that? Guys, this works both in the positive sense and in the negative sense. Let me illustrate it first with the negative sense. Decisions have momentum. What do I mean? Alcoholics don't wake up one day and say, you know what? I want this substance that I'm going to pour down my throat to ruin my life and my relationships and just take control of me. That's not how it works. You know how it works? One little decision to drink one sip, and that decision has momentum so that the next time it snowballs into 2, 3, 4, and now my liver is pickled because I'm drinking and I'm an alcoholic. Decisions have momentum. And this is what I want you to see in this story. Look at this. Peter was out fishing all night. It's what they did. They were from Bethsaida. That word, Bethsaida, the city's name, literally means land of the hunt. And in Peter's case, this was their livelihood. It wasn't that they were going out sport fishing for bass. They were trying to pull in their livelihood, their earnings for the month, and they hadn't caught anything. And they were washing their nets, feeling down about themselves. And that's when, get this, Peter didn't sign up for the family vacation retreat. You know what he signed up for? To go fishing, to make some money. And then Jesus, this rabbi, just walks up and climbs into his boat uninvited and says, hey, Peter, I know you're busy. I know you're down. Put out a little from shore. He asked them to do something very little. But I wonder, after a negative result that you guys have had in your life, can you even do a little thing, a little movement toward God? Notice the decision had momentum. Jesus gets in the boat. He gets to hear words from Jesus. And then the next thing you know, Jesus asks him to do a little more. And he says, put out deep and let's let the nets down again. And Peter goes, that don't make any sense. But because you say so, and you've been teaching so good from my boat, it seems like you know what you're talking about. Because you say so, I'll do it. And he does it. And what happens? An unforeseen result. But do you see the momentum of the decision? And the momentum keeps snowballing. Because you know what happens to Peter after this? It says they left everything and followed Jesus. And then it was bumps in the road for the rest of the journey that he would follow Jesus up to Jesus' death. And Peter walks away. But at the end of the day, that little decision to put down just a little bit from shore, when he didn't feel like it, the momentum built and he became the Apostle Peter, that became a great fisher of men that changed the lives of thousands upon thousands, generation after generation. He wrote Scripture. you guys can have that kind of influence, but you got to make some decisions that you're going to do the things that we called you guys to do today. But understand, decisions have momentum. You made a little decision. You came to family vacation. Will you let it snowball? Take you somewhere great? I love you guys. Y'all are dismissed.